Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
Dribbling to the right side, it's Juzang. 7 seconds to go. 6 seconds. Juzang in the paint. Fade away. No!
29 puntos para Juzang. El triple en camino!
Entrada para Biedo! Da Ladna! Da Ladna! Vigra that match!
Banked! 3 to Sten Gonzaga! 1 step closer to history!
Duh!
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's sort of how I felt today in the drive-thru. Ah! I wanted to scream. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Friday. Hope you're having a great day. Jeff Santel is going to join us here in just a sec. Just got to tell this story because I brought it to the people. Because I wanted to know what people thought. I wanted to know what our listeners thought about this. And generally speaking, I said, how long are you willing to sit in a drive-thru line and wait for your food? Would you wait 30 minutes or more? And if you do wait that long, do you expect the order to be free? Again, I don't know about you. Okay, but my time is valuable. When you tell me it's going to take 3 to 5 minutes for me to get my food, that's what I expect it to take. So when it takes way longer than that, I expect some compensation in return. I know some of you may think that's, I don't know, Mike, overstepping. But I think when you have customer service involved and I come to your establishment and I say, hey, I'd like to have your service. And you say, my service is, hey, we do it right now. It doesn't take any time. And then you take up the rest of my time, I expect the food to be free. Am I wrong about that, Mike Bell?
Well, I mean, fast food ceases to be fast if you're in the drive-thru for, let's say, more than 15 minutes and you have to wait more than 5 after you've gone to the window. It ceases to be fast food. It's just food. So I'm with you, and I think we know what we're talking about. Is it rhyme with Popeyes?
I am not, and as I said in the tweet, I am not going to disclose
all right
where it was. You guys can take a guess. Y'all know. But I just wanted to get your thoughts, and it's so interesting, Mike, the array of thoughts about this and how people feel about, I'll wait in line a certain amount of time. It depends on, you know, if I really like the place, I'll never stay more than 5 minutes in a line. If it's too long, I'll get out. Right. It's crazy.
No, and by the way, apologize. Ike is trying to eat my turkey sandwich if you're watching on Twitch. Will you get out of here? But, yeah, man. I love Popeyes, but it just is what it is. Now, where I live down here on the south side, it's a pretty good job. Now, granted, you're going to wait 25 minutes in the drive-thru, but it does. You don't have to do the dreaded,
can you pull up, sir?
That's the worst. That is the worst. Because then you feel like you're an adult drive-thru timeout as everyone gets their food and passes you by while you're sitting there.
I love Tanitra. We're going to talk to our man, Jeff Santel. Tanitra works with us. You guys here in the morning. She hit me up. She said, about 15 minutes. Raising Cane's or Whataburger. But I'm definitely not paying. Thank you, Tanitra. She said, and they need to go ahead and top it off with the large sweet tea. those are the kind of things that I've been getting response to.
I did get a certificate for a free sandwich last time. It was a long delay at Popeyes.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's customer service. I've just waited in line 20 minutes. Now, some of you won't say anything, and that's fine. They'll take advantage of you. I, on the other hand, want to know what the hell the holdup is and why it's taking so long, and then usually they respond to what Mike's just saying about, sir, here's a coupon. Okay, thank you. For a future visit, I'll get some food. All right, the $5 you just gave me is worth my time. But even then, sometimes it's not. With that, guys, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We do it each and every day, and tomorrow is G-Day, the spring game. It is always brought to you, dogs, when we talk dogs, by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, BrightBoxElectrical.com for the ultimate man cave, home security, home monitoring. They do it all. Get all the details when you spell out B-R-I-T-E, BrightBoxElectrical.com.
All right, guys, Jeff Santel has been covering college football. Dog Nation, and he knows about the dogs, and you can follow him at Jeff Sentell. That's S-E-N-T-E-L-L. We love talking with Jeff. And, Jeff, tomorrow, you know, I guess I don't want to oversell this. Is it more exciting? Am I feeling exciting only because it didn't happen last year? You know what I mean? Am I the only one feeling that way, or is there something else here?
You know, first of all, guys, thanks for having me on. And I'm like cracking up, waiting, trying to think of the best opening line for this. And I think basically is that if you have to wait like 15 months for real bona fide football in Sanford Stadium again, do you care if they only score 17 points? Is that what's going on right here listening to you guys?
Right. Right.
Yes, it is. It really is.
No, I mean, look, we knew about the wide receivers and the injuries. And by the way, real quick, just before I forget, because we just talked about it last hour, Jeff, and you're always, know about who's in the pipeline and recruiting. Is Georgia going to be getting some Christmas presents dropped off here soon once the NCAA signs off on this transfer portal thing?
Yeah, so it did happen. They ratified it Thursday at the end of their business. And so there's one little bit of good news, but then there's one little bit of, hold on, guys, can you pull up to the front of the line with this? Because what happens is, it's got a one for all. You get a one-off. You can transfer anywhere you want. You don't have to sit out a season. But then there's going to be some serious legislation in this conference called the Southeastern Conference, which might be near and dear to the hearts of everybody listening in right here, where that still there's that stopgap about you can't transfer in between programs and in between schools. So that's a detail that's got to be ironed out before. It's funny. I use this metaphor a lot with folks, and I wonder if you guys can dig at what I'm saying here. Do you guys remember there was this furniture commercial back in the day, and I think it happened right after Black Friday, where like they said, they show this pan to a guy, and one guy's in a stretcher, and the other guy's in a wheelchair, and the other guy's arm in his sling, and he's like, I opened the door last year. And the guy's, I opened the door 2 years ago. And then they go to this poor soul that's got to go up and open the door again. Folks, that's what the NCAA's new transfer rules are going to be like, especially with things going on where you're going to see a little bit of shift in recruiting to where, for example, a school like Georgia, do they really want to think about scholarship allocation and go, yeah, we really like this 18-year-old kid more than we like this 21-year-old grown man that's maybe 1 or 2 years away from the NFL. You're going to see a lot more recruiting or scholarship slots being retained for guys that could bolt from one school to the other. And that's going to be a real thing, especially with these new rules going into place. I think with Georgia, everybody wants to know, I don't think it's been any secret that Georgia was going to look to Georgia was going to look to see what's out there and what's available after spring practice. And there are a lot of positions on the team to look at. I would think, obviously, cornerback position and the wide receiver position would be the ones where Georgia's going to take a really good look around and see if they can add to what I think is a top five roster in college football.
Jeff Sentell, our guest, guys, talking dogs. We've asked all of our Georgia analysts and panelists and experts and guys that cover Georgia on a daily basis, how good do you think JT Daniels can be?
That's a great question because everybody, I think that first game and everybody's going to go, wow, great analysis here, dude. But really, if someone's going to look at JT Daniels and look at him very objectively, they're going to wonder, okay, was that an oasis what he did against perhaps the four worst teams on Georgia's schedule last year? Or was it some of this stuff where he was rated so highly coming out of high school? He was right there with the Justin Fields and the Trevor Lawrences of the world coming out of high school. Like, everybody says, well, he left school early. Well, he didn't really leave school early. He was the same age as a lot of those guys in that grade level. But everybody thinks he's like Rain Man looking at the film, contemplating, a beautiful mind, Russell Crowe figuring out the right guy to get the ball to. Here's the thing about JT Daniels. You're going to have to see him. You're going to have to see a better ability to move around, to step up, to buy time, extend, and escape in the pocket. Because that first game, yeah, Clemson's really good, but the strength of Clemson's team is those pin the ears behind your back, black belt ninjas outside on the edge coming after him and rushing the passer. And that's going to be key with Georgia and JT Daniels.
We've talked so much about the wide receivers, and obviously, Pickens goes down. I mean, I mean, we've asked everybody who covers Georgia. We'll ask you, Jeff. I mean, no excuses for Kirby. I mean, the next man up. I know Blaylock's had to deal with injury after injury, and we've heard about some of these other guys that are stepping up. But, I mean, is this really going to be a major problem this year where Georgia's going to not have the vertical passing game we're all looking for?
Yeah, I think, you know, Pickens is a marvelous talent. But, you know, listen to this, guys. I think Georgia can be not as explosive, but maybe even more efficient without Pickens on the field. And what I mean by that is everybody wonders, you know, how are they going to get the balls to James Cook? How are they going to get the ball to Jermaine Burton? How are they going to get the ball to Darnell Washington? How are they going to spread it around a lot, you know, Jermaine Burton? I think the greatest indicator right now for Georgia being a changing of the guard in the program, and all this stuff about Monken is great, all this stuff about Kirby Smart is great, but I've never seen a time at Georgia where you can look at the disabled list. Let's speak, you know, Atlanta Braves baseball here for a second, and you can see George Pickens on the sideline, Marcus Rosemee Jack Saint, Dominic Blaylock, and then even Jermaine Burton as well. And then you can still look to Georgia's roster, and it's not going to look like, you know, the depleted zone or whatever. You still got very good talents. Everybody wants to see what Arian Smith can do when he catches five balls a game rather than, you know, running a 10-4 down the sideline and catching a long nine route. But then you've got Justin Robinson. That's a name that's near and dear to folks in the McDonough Stockbridge area. He's the guy out of Eagles Landing Christian Academy. That guy has opened a lot of eyes. Another guy, Adonai Mitchell. That's a guy, radical story here for Adonai Mitchell. He's one of those guys that have caught everybody's eyes during spring camp. Guys, he didn't even play football last year. He basically was a 2019 senior who reclassified to the 2021 class, and really he spent the whole last 6-7 months of his life acting like he was training for the NFL Combine, just working on his body, just working on his game, and he's a freshman at the University of Georgia. Don't take my word for it. Terrence Edwards, probably the all-time most productive, prolific pass catcher, if not the greatest, just look at those record books. Terrence Edwards thinks he's special. He thinks Adonai Mitchell, and we all love name drops in this business. He looks at Adonai Mitchell, a Georgia freshman, and he sees a lot of the same skill set as Justin Jefferson, who really tore it up this year for the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow, that's interesting. Jeff Sintel, our guest, guys, we're talking about G-Day tomorrow in Athens. What do you expect from this offensive line? I've been asking this question. It's one of those things, Jeff, that, you know, every year we keep talking about what Sam Pittman did. Oh, he recruited great. But then we see Georgia in these big games sometimes get pushed around. And I'm like, okay, is the offensive line overrated? Is it overhyped? Is it as good as we think it is? Because that's an important part of everything else we're talking about right now. What do you think?
So here's the thing. Now, Sam Pittman, if you'd have given Sam Pittman about five more years at Georgia, he would have reached Irk Russell assistant coach status.
Right.
That's how revered he was, and I'm not saying that lightly. But there's a philosophy change with Coach Luke versus Coach Pittman. And it's basically, you know, previously, I think we've all seen these Hollywood blockbusters of late where, you know, Sam Pittman wanted the aircraft offensive lineman. He wanted a Solomon Kinley. He wanted an Isaiah Wilson. He wanted a Trey Hill, a large mass mover, a pile driver, a guy in the fourth quarter physics would just take over. Now, if you look what Coach Luke has done over the last 18 months, 24 months he's been at Georgia, he's looking for more of the battleship guy, that 320-pounder, that guy that can zig and can zag, can get out on the edge, can give Georgia some toss sweeps, can get downfield on some screens and some downfield, you know, behind the line, really quick game type balls. And this is what's crazy, guys. And, you know, my repertoire is my forte is I cover recruiting. If you look at the guys that are set to be the twos at Georgia, their names like, you know, starting out, which will be Broderick Jones, Cedric Von Prawn Granger. You've got a five-star offensive tackle, number two tackle in the country. You've got the number one center in the country. You've got Amarius Mims out of Bleckley County in middle Georgia, 6'8", about 320. Number two tackle in the country. Georgia's second team offensive line could, I'm going to say this, Georgia's second team offensive line could have three first or second round picks on the second team O line right now. That's how stacked they are. Like, Georgia fans love it when analysts say this, stacked like cord wood. Right. That's what Georgia's second team offensive line looks like. And I think the superstar of the G-Day game is going to be whichever backup quarterback gets to operate behind that second-team offensive line the longest, whether that's Carson Beck or Stetson Bennett. or that's Brock Vandegrift.
Stacked like cordwood, Carl. Like he spent time with Larry Munson. I love this guy. This guy, Santel.
Hey, real quick, we've been asking all the guys, we've been covering the dogs. Who do you think has the biggest impact in this NFL draft? Chuck Smith loves Ojulari. We were talking about this the other day. Who do you think is going to have it? I mean, Stokes, I mean, the speed has become the thing, but is he going to be that good at the next level?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Chuck Smith, not because he's just the doctor of pass rush and has his graduate PhD thesis in ball get off and everything else like that. But, you know, Azeez is a guy that, you know, recruiting is not that hard to figure out. When you get a guy like Azeez Ojulari, and I remember his head coach at Marietta High School told me, okay, this guy is a team captain for us. He will be one of the best guys in the building when he shows up at Georgia. You look at the weight room records, and Azeez Ojulari's name is all over that. I mean, really, Azeez Ojulari has been so good that former number one overall player in the country, Nolan Smith, has had to wait his time. You think about Adam Anderson, another five-star outside linebacker that's kind of had to wait his time because Azeez has been that good. I remember guys inside the program really quickly once Azeez Ojulari showed up, and he was even injured. He was coming off a knee injury, and the guys were telling me, this is about the time when the Black Panther movie dropped, and they were saying, they were calling Azeez Ojulari Vibranium because he checked every box. He was the guy that you would bring to SEC Media Days, but he was also the guy that you would go to war with, and he was a redshirt freshman captain for Kirby Smart. Folks, since Kirby's been in Athens, that's the first time I've ever seen that happen.
Wow. Jeff Sintel, great job, man. Looking forward to seeing what happens tomorrow at G-Day, and hopefully we'll get a chance to chop it up with you after and kind of analyze things. Thanks again, man. Have a great weekend.
Hey, guys, I'll look for my $5 coupon for your show from your producer after the break.
It's coming. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now. Healthy. Healthy is the word. H-E-A-L-T-H-Y. Text it to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right now, Mike Bell. Healthy.
Get healthy, man. And send it to 72881. Win the $1,000. We've been giving away the loot. We want to give some to you on a Friday. By the way, real quick, sidebar, speaking of healthy, our buddy Justin Farmer, Carl, from Channel 2, says Jovita Moore is out of surgery.
Oh,
it went well.
Good.
She's doing well in recovery. She's being called a model patient. So a lot of guys, prayers up, and ladies for Jovita, one of our favorite people. Healthy, man. 72881. Get in to win the loot. What's next, Dukes?
Well, I'll tell you, I love our city. We love our city. But I don't love it when we rush to judgment when guys haven't done it all. I'll explain. Steve Coonan set to join us at 40 after the hour, guys. 4:40, we'll talk to the Hawks CEO, not only about Unity Night, but also all the things that are going on in and around the NBA. We'll get his impression, too, on this play-in tournament, which is weird, and I don't like it. I think
nobody seems to like it, and it just seems like Carl. And it's, I heard the players say, look, man, we're playing 72 games. Now, it's granted it's 10 games shy of the regular, but you don't really need to do this Mickey Mouse play-in tournament.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm a traditionalist when it comes to these things.
I mean, haven't you determined in an NBA season? We'll talk to Steve about it. But I mean, that to me, the die has been cast. You don't need to give the 10th or the 9th seed. You're in, you're out. Let's go.
I'm with you. So, it's all about building more interest, right? And that's what they're trying to do. But let's talk about something that I think is a little bit premature. But when I saw this, it needs to be addressed. So our buddy Steve Hummer, who writes for the AJC, wrote a piece about Nate McMillan. And, I know these guys don't write the snappy headlines, but it's basically entitled either Hawks Snap Up McMillan or Regret It After Someone Else Does. Now, what Steve does is he points out in this piece how the Hawks have improved, okay? Since March 1st, they won 73% of their games. You know, they've gone 16-6, before the start of the season where they were 14-20, blah, blah, blah. He talks about the win streak, which is 8 games. The whole gist of this is that Nate McMillan is the guy, that this team has responded, and he is a guy that the Hawks should want to hire, you know, moving forward and at the end of the season. Here's my thing, and I have nothing against Nate, and I hope he has an opportunity to get this job. Nate McMillan's history in the playoffs is not good. I need to see Nate McMillan lead this team in the playoffs and see how this team responds. I am not willing to just say that Nate McMillan is the answer, even though he's right, Steve is right, Steve Hummer, that this team has responded. It's something Mike and I have talked about, and they're playing much better.
and they're having fun and all right. those things. But, Mike, if we don't win in the playoffs, it means nothing.
Right.
So when we talk about rushing and, oh, McMillan's the guy, I said this about Raheem Morris. I hope he gets a chance, just like Ra, at the end of the season to say, hey, you know what? We've looked at this. We've analyzed it. We really believe you're the guy to lead us in the future, and we're going to give you that opportunity. But we've not won anything. He's not proven anything to me as far as what he's going to do with this team in crunch time, when it matters most, in the playoffs. So, Mike, I just don't want Hawks fans to go, yeah, Nate McMillan is the answer. Guys, right now the Hawks should open up this search, okay, to be fair, at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Now, if we go to the NBA Finals, done deal. If we go to the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm going to say done deal. But if we're one and done and we get swept, that's enough information to make you feel like he's the guy?
No, it's playoffs. Like it's like
we'll talk about playoffs.
It's like the Snitker phenomenon, right? I mean, like Snitker's done a nice job, and there's certainly been some years you could say he exceeded expectations, Carl, juggling all the pitching staffs and the injuries, and he may have to do that again this year. But I wasn't in a rush to give Snitker a new contract. And in this case, like, I appreciate what Steve, to your point, is saying about it. But, no, I mean, part of the reason Nate was an assistant coach is, yeah, he's won a lot of games, but he's never done jack in the playoffs. And we like Nate, and he's the perfect guy for this team right now. But I don't pigeonhole, I don't box myself into a corner that I've got to commit to Nate right now. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and when I say
– oh, no, dude, we're one more injury, heaven forbid, or one more turned ankle from falling right out of the playoffs the way things are going right now.
I don't – you're right.
Let me knock wood on that, but I mean, it's just.
But he's pushed the right buttons. Yeah, I'm with all of that. But we're not talking about the playoffs. We're not talking about when it matters most, Dukesism. And Mike, here's the thing. I want to make this clear. Nate McMillan has gotten out of the playoffs as a coach one time in the first round. Check that. One time. You got to go back to 2004, 2005, Seattle Supersonics. Ray Allen. What? Didn't he play for Miami? No, this is long before that.
Right.
Okay? Long before that. Rashad
Lewis. This is like Jesus Shuttlesworth, Ray
Correct.
Allen.
Correct. So they end up losing to the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals 4-2. Spurs go on to win that championship, Tim Duncan and company. But the point is, out of all these years and all the players he's coached and all the teams he's had, you look at his record in the Eastern Conference, 3-6 with the 3-16 with the Pacers. And everybody says, well, Deuce, he ran into LeBron. Well, everybody runs into LeBron. Did people make that excuse with Jordan? You got to find a way to break through. And we're not talking about championships. We're talking about the first round. He has not been out of it. So when we say he's the guy, we think he's the guy, I'm with you. I feel really good about the direction. But I'm not willing right now to make this decision when I know, Mike, I've got my choice of various guys out there to say, who's going to be best? And maybe you want to go get a guy with championship pedigree.
And the other thing is, with Nate, we've talked about how, like, the guys did not respond to Lloyd. We understand that. But one of the things we saw last night, and we talked about it, and it was funny because Charles Barkley and Shaq, and we had Charles on earlier, Shaq was like, you know, Hawks are just two players away. And I think Charles said something like, yeah, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. You know, But I do know this. I mean, for every night that Trey validates, and again, I'm not sitting here, like, I'm not working for the team Trey payroll to convince you guys that he was worth the trade for Luka. I don't like the way ESPN always gives us the bottom of the deck the way they deal with Atlanta, but Trey has to be better. If Trey's not 100%, as Nate said, he was healthy, so he's on the floor. He still, Carl, for some reason, doesn't know when to turn it on, when to get other guys involved. And there were some trips down the floor, too many turnovers. It's like if Trey's floater isn't working, then nothing else seems to find its way in the basket. And I need Nate, but Nate needs to, again, they don't practice. I know. But, I mean, is Nate the guy to get more out of Trey? Because we're committed to Trey. That's what this thing's built around.
You're right. And see, that's the bigger thing here. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's just a conversation. Again, I'm not ready to have this conversation. But if some people in town want to have the conversation, let's have it. Let's not rush. Let's see where this goes. Let's not immediately make a decision that he's the guy. And Mike just hit it on the head, guys. Who's going to get the most out of your star? Do you guys know how many coaches Jordan had before the guy that got the most out of him came along? See, it's just not that easy. I mean, it's not just, well, any coach will work, because it's just not. Some guys push the right buttons in ways that other guys don't. So I'm cautiously optimistic about Nate McMillan leading us to playoff wins.
which is what should matter, Atlanta, not regular season. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Find us on Twitch as well. You guys can hit us up at Twitch. And make sure you subscribe as well. Get that exclusive content, ATL929. The game, and you can see all our big faces on Twitch.
Right on. I appreciate guys interacting with us. As Nate is best for right now, you're talking about playoff record. We weren't even going to make the playoffs without him. Maybe he's not the guy, but for now he is. So I'm with you, but that doesn't mean you got to rush to pay him a contract, as Steve was intimating in the article. And the other thing last night, guys, I get it. You're disappointed. It's national TV. We don't have all of our weapons. John Collins isn't out there. And let's be honest, Carl, let's call it like it is. The Bucks are big and physical. We almost look like a JV team at times with our personnel. I mean, same thing goes for the Sixers. Same thing goes, obviously, for the Nets. That's just it. So yeah. I don't know if that's something that Travis may try to address via the draft, or, I mean, we don't want to get any younger, or free agency, because we're going to have to commit to John Collins and, you know, that's going to cost a fortune. But last night, guys are in their bag because we look bad on national TV, and Trey didn't look like a guy who should have been traded for Luka. I get that, but let's not – that's why you're going to jump off the bandwagon. How about we have some balls in this town and stick with the team through thick or thin? We knew we weren't going to win that game last night.
Yeah, I say it all the time, ride. Let's ride.
Right.
I'm riding with Nate. That doesn't mean I can't be critical of him, or that I don't think now that he might not be the long-term guy. But he's got an opportunity to prove it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Trey's got an opportunity to prove it to us. So I am always going to ride. But, yeah, Mike, you're right. I mean, that's where I'm at with this team, guys. Just talking about the coach. Last night, it's bigger than just a loss, because if you're looking at the future and you're saying 5 years from now, where's this team? 5 years from now, where's Trey? Where's JC? What's their status in the league? How much better are they? Are we competing for championships? That's the question. All right, man, we got plenty more to get to here on the program. Falcon Report's on the way. We'll talk to Steve Koonin coming up, Hawks CEO, next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time to check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is Catching Up with Koonin on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
He is here to answer the tough questions on a Friday. It's Dukes and Bell. And our weekly visit with the Hawks CEO, Steve Koonin, right now. Mike and Steve, good afternoon, first and foremost. How you doing?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah, man, it was tough last night, but we know we didn't have all the horses for the Bucks, and I just, it's just tough on national TV, and some of the Hawks fans were a little disappointed we couldn't put a better effort out there.
Yeah, unfortunately, injuries matter. That's why, they call people starters and stars and things like that, and our starters were limited, and our star, Trey, had a difficult night, but he wanted to play on national TV and wanted to give it his all, and I applaud, what he did, but obviously the results weren't there. So we move on, and we, get ready for Indiana on Sunday.
How are these Unity Nights going, Steve?
We were 6-0 going into last night, so... Mm. I love the idea of Unity. I was hoping that the MLK jerseys would go 10-0,
right?
Which would have really been special. But I think a 9-1 is more than acceptable.
No, it's funny. I heard Chris Webber last night. I need to get one of those jerseys. So
yeah, they've been a huge success. Mm. And I think we talked about the Pope blessed them, and
right.
So we got some luck there.
Right.
So, it's like Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if y'all have talked about it. He just went down with looks like a fairly significant injury.
Yeah, that just broke just in the last hour, yeah.
Yeah, in the last few minutes he got hurt.
Well, that's huge. And that's huge for not just the Western Conference. It's huge for the NBA. The league, Steve, we need our stars to be in the playoffs. We need our stars, right?
And the New York Times wrote an article, injuries are raining on the NBA's championship parade. We were all watching when Solomon Hill tripped and fell on LeBron's ankle, and he hasn't played, in a month. So it's been a very odd season, and you don't know if it's because of the layoff, because of the schedule, because of luck, but something is really happening, especially in these soft tissue injuries that don't heal in a day or two. Tomorrow's the first day off we're going to have had, in 3 months.
Right.
Days between games. So it's very, very hard for the guys.
It is our man, Steve Coonan, guys, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Steve also brought to you by Dell Technologies, because he's that kind of a guy, Carl. Steve, any new news you can share with the audience about the guys that are banged up, Cam and John and DeAndre?
Well, I think of those three, John will be back first, and we're hopeful he'll be back in short order. And DeAndre's not far behind, and Cam's, you know, probably the longest recuperation of those three. Some guys are, I think John's going to try tomorrow to play full court, and you know, hopefully, what our goal is, let's try to get our top 10 guys back and healthy for the last 10 games of the season going into the playoffs, and then see what we have, because we virtually have not seen the entire team together this year.
Steve, can you give us, and again, I don't know, you know, if it's too detailed or too, you know, in-depth, then I understand, but maybe just an outline of the whole play-in tournament and why the league decided to do this. I know a lot of NBA fans are like, okay, do I like this? Am I going to like this? What's your opinion on it?
Well, I love this, and I'm cracking up that Mark Cuban, who happens to be in seventh place, who voted yes for this and raved about it, now that his team's in seventh place is complaining. So, simply put, it's to create games with consequences. You know, there is probably not a better sports event than March Madness, and I'm talking the encapsulated 68 games.
Okay.
And so UCLA was a play-in game.
Right.
Down to Michigan State by 11 with 7 minutes left in the game. And probably should have beat Gonzaga. So it's games with consequences. So basically you get 7 and 8 hosting games that play against 9 and 10. And the winner of 7 and 8 and the winner of 9 and 10 each playing each other.
Yeah.
8 has to host the winner of 9 and 10. So if you're the seventh seeded team and you win one game, you're in. And if you're the 8th seeded team and you win one game, you're in. And if you're the 9th or the 10th, you have to win 2 games to get in. And then your prize for winning the play-in tournament is you play the number 1 seed or the number 2 seed.
Now, real quick, and that's Steve Coonan explaining.
And I didn't do a great job there, so no. I do apologize.
No, but it makes sense. I know people are asking about it. It's something
it did.
New.
That's good.
The NBA play-in tournament.
More or less.
So, yeah. Luca, here's what Luca said, and then I'm going to read Mark Cuban's comments to what you're talking about. He says, I don't understand the idea of a play-in tournament. This is Luca. You play 72 games to get into the playoffs, and maybe you lose 2 in a row and you're out of the playoffs? I don't see the point. Then Cuban said the worst part of this approach, and you said he voted for this, is that it doubles the stress of the compressed schedule. In hindsight, this approach was an enormous mistake. That's Mark Cuban.
Okay, but in hindsight, everything can be reevaluated. You know, you voted for it. I actually think it is a very good idea. You know, I was skeptical in baseball with the wild card. And it's similar to that. By the way, you play 162 and you can be eliminated in one game.
But here's the thing, but Steve, I mean, but 162 or in this case 72 instead of 82 should be enough. I mean, 72 should say, yes, I should be in or I should not be in. I've proven it over the course of the season. I just, to me, it's like, I mean, and by the way, the NBA, the way they stretch this, the playoffs out over like 6 weeks and forever, I don't need another round of playoffs. I like to get right in the meat of it immediately.
Well, we've been dear friends for decades, and we can agree to disagree because,
right.
You know, games with consequences and playoffs, look, guys, you don't force me to say that television might have had an influence over this.
Yes, of course.
Do not do that.
Yeah, boom.
No. All right. Steve, all right. A couple of other things. D. Wade is going to be a part of the ownership in the Jazz. And I'm not surprised. I will say this, though. I see in the future more and more players who have the means to do it. Not all players will. Guys like D. Wade are champions, and they're special, and they're, you know, they have the money to do this. But do you see the same? Do you see more and more players?
Well, I happen to have a partner that I was on a call today named Grant Hill.
Yeah.
You know, Grant Hill is a very active owner of the Atlanta Hawks, and he brings so much value. You're sitting there, you're talking about coaching situations, drafting situations, player situations, locker room, and you've got D. Wade there to help the ownership and senior management make decisions. It's invaluable. It's invaluable.
Well, I don't want to end on a sour note with us arguing about this expanded playoff format, so let me throw this at you. A buddy of ours, Maximum Bob, found this story about the Tampa Bay Lightning. Apparently, they're going to turn one of their luxury suites into an Airbnb. Is this something you've considered doing at State Farm?
We did 5 years ago.
So they ripped you off?
No. The Bulls did it before we announced it.
Oh, so you ripped
the Bulls off. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's kind of a cool idea. I liked it. In their case, Carl, they're going to have the Stanley Cup for the people that actually do bid on this thing.
That was a big difference, and they're going to have you can skate, which obviously would have been a big difference in ours. And you can watch a movie on the Jumbotron, which we had that, and then we were going to have dinner, you know, at half court. But, yeah. There's no new ideas in the world except NBA play-in games. And you guys are resistant, you old men.
No. I mean, look,
Get off my lawn.
72
Get
games.
Off what, my lawn.
What is the purpose of the regular season? Oh, by the way, which many stars apparently can't play in with load management. And then we get to have another extra few games. Come on.
I'm sorry. 72 used to be 82.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not, Steven. Here's why. I understand exactly what you said about creating more interest, and it amps up the level of intensity. You know, I mean, I understand. And listen, if you have a chance, like you say, hey, we earned the right to be in the playoffs. Okay, well, now we got to go win another game to do it. And this team knows all we got to do is win two, and we're in. We've been on the cusp of getting in. The intensity in those games is going to be very high. I get it, but we'll
see. Let's pretend it started today. New York Knicks at Boston Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
I think you just said it well.
Yeah.
People will watch that.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm with you. I think I'm curious to see how it's received.
Boom, drop the mic on Mike Bell.
You know what? You're demeaning the regular season.
We got to run, buddy.
Get off my lawn.
Hey, have a great weekend.
What did you just call me?
I said, I'm mush.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Steve. You don't like it. I get it.
No, I mean, and nobody seems to like it that's playing in the NBA right now. I know, again, it is funny, though, how Mark Cuban is singing a different tune, which Steve pointed out, but he did vote for it.
All right, guys, we got plenty more to get to. Does it matter or does it not matter? I think it does with our team. Mike and I will explain why coming up in our Falcon Report.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.